This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey, I assume the Klay Thompson news is going to break in this segment because we have talked about this for, 2 weeks since you came up with this idea. It was a great idea. Have the Mavs earned the NBA's respect? All right, what led you down this path?
I don't really remember at this point. It's been so long.
I know. But we should have gotten it in a timelier fashion.
There was a link that was sent out, or it was on CBS Sports, and it had the top 10 offseason storylines. And the Mavs weren't included at all in it. And
yeah,
that being said, the Celtics weren't either. So the two teams that were in the finals weren't included in this offseason storylines. The top two were, where's LeBron going and where is Bronny going to be drafted? And I was like, oh my gosh, they're struggling right now. Talk about your, like, the good teams that are playing out there.
We mostly answered both of them.
Yeah, so that being said, whenever I saw that, and I'm still kind of curious when it comes to free agency. If other teams, Kevin, you said this after Luka's first season because you were the one that was like, hey, look, he has a very high ceiling as a rookie, but I'm not much sure how much better he'll be beyond that. And then he blew everybody out of the water. You still didn't believe, and you were like fringe top 78 player or something like that. But then that next year, you were like, once he gets to that place, though, people are going to start to want to come play with him because he's that kind of player. And I'm very curious from the rest of the league, if they're looking at the Mavericks going, I have to play at that organization. We've always figured that this isn't a destination for NBA players. They don't love to come play in the city.
Yeah.
That was always kind of an assumption on our part. But for the most part, have the Mavericks, like, they gotten to a point where they're like, I can win a championship there. I can do something there, and I want to be there. And then from the media world, do they look at the Mavericks and go, fluky year, they just showed up here on accident?
I kind of think it's closer to the second one, but here's what I think is going to happen. Y'all can tell me if you think I'm dead set wrong on this. I think, yeah, right there.
That gives you an idea of how respected they are right now.
On ESPN Bet.
Oh my gosh, so he's sneezing right now. But what happened is as we were doing this, the top six teams in Vegas right now, the Mavericks are not a top six team to win the NBA championship. They're tied at seventh with the Milwaukee Bucks 11-1. So it does become relevant as we get into free agency, Corey, is right now, before possibly the Klay Thompson signing, is Vegas does not see the Mavericks as a major contender. They're just outside of the major contenders.
And what I think is going to happen if the Mavericks do get Klay Thompson, I think that's going to change all of your respect questions, Corey, because I think you're right. I honestly don't know if the NBA does. They respect him as like, oh yeah, they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get Klay Thompson, I think everyone is gonna project on it and be like, are the Mavericks now the favorite to win the NBA
title? I can absolutely see that, because that would be one of those players that said, I'm gonna go play. Now, obviously, the most amount of money aside from the Warriors that he could get, I believe, is with us. But that's a player that goes, I want to play there. And as a respectable three-point shooter that you have to fear.
Well, at least with a contender. He could go sign with Detroit, but I'm pretty sure that he doesn't want to go get $30 million a year from Detroit to win 20 games. and then think about, I mean, how many shots is he going to put up with Tim Hardaway Jr. as the leader on that team?
Is he the leader on that team? Okay.
He's going to be the leader in shots attempted per minute played. I know that.
That is fair point.
Okay, so look at the Mavs, I do think they have the respect of coaches. And the respect of players. I don't think they have the respect of fans. I think Luka's one of the most hated players in the NBA amongst fans, and I get it. If he's on another team, I'd be like, dude, this guy drives me insane.
Yes, yes.
His complaining and whining and laying on the floor and not getting back on defense. And
the
just
way he talks trash to you
trash
while he beats
talking,
you.
Right? So there's so many things that make Luka an unlikable player around NBA fans. Vegas, though, is telling you what they want to put the odds at so that they can possibly make the most money. And they're giving you good odds on the Mavs, saying, hey, if you really believe in this Mavs team, in fact, I would tell you, I'm not a bettor, but if you are, dropping $100 on the Mavs right now, I don't think their odds are going to get worse, if that makes sense. If you're thinking, oh, could it go to 15-1? I don't think it will if they don't get Klay Thompson. But if they get Klay Thompson, to your point, I think they might go to 8-1 or 7.5-1. If they end up getting Klay Thompson and they get back into the top five, at least Vegas favorites, I think that the Mavericks are respected around the NBA for the people that matter most.
I gotcha.
But to the fans, I don't think that they're that respected, and they think they're kind of fluky.
And that's where I'm like, man, have you paid attention to this team really, though? Because, I mean, Luka got to the Western Conference Finals with who? Who was, I mean, Jalen Brunson, I guess you could say that was it. But he took that team there. They played really good team defense while they were on their way to do that.
Okay.
And they got to the finals.
I'm glad that you said that, because it felt like Tim Legler talked about that, but everyone else is like, oh, this Dallas team not known for their defense.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about, are they paying attention? And I know you're over here going like, come on, dude. The last like 2 to 3 months, they've been excellent defensively. But everyone just goes off of that reputation. And it's just that the reputation is you don't play D.
Luka also, I agree with that 100%. Luka also has a reputation that players might not want to play with him or love to play with him. And I saw this on Twitter, and this isn't the truth, but this is where things happen. Right now, we're hearing that Klay Thompson wants to be a Maverick first. We'll see if that's true or not.
Yes.
Obviously, where the money is and where the opportunity is and everything. But if Klay Thompson signs with the Mavs, if Kyrie Irving kind of was like, hey, I think I can play with Luka, and it's working out after a half a season of it struggling, the first full season, it worked out almost to a championship. You're hearing that PJ Washington likes playing here. Obviously grew up here, but likes playing here. Daniel Gafford is like, this is so amazing playing with Luka and the lobs and the easy looks that I get. Now, I know that Derrick Jones Jr. just left, but this person put on Twitter yesterday, and I thought it was interesting because this isn't fair to the player at all. They're like, dude, look how many players are leaving Jokic. That's not fair. They're not leaving Jokic. But if we're going to put this out there that Tim Hardaway Jr. doesn't like playing with Luka, or Brunson, for example, maybe wanted his own team and was tired of playing with Luka, or whoever, Christian Wood, bad example, because it looks like he can't play with a human in the NBA. But
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
But I just look at it and go, sometimes sometimes other people will say possibly kind of unfair things. Because if you're going to say that about Luka right now, you'd have to say nobody wants to play with Jokic. And that's not fair and not right. But hell, Caldwell Pope left because he doesn't want to play with Jokic anymore. That's Bruce Brown left because he doesn't want to play with Jokic anymore. It has a lot more to do with Denver's finances than it does the player. But if you're going to put this on Luka, this person on Twitter was saying, then don't you have to put it on Jokic that he's losing a lot of role players because they must not want to play with him?
I do think that that's a very fair point. I mean, I don't think that's why it's happening. And I don't think that's why people left either with Luka. But I understand your point for sure.
Do you think that, I mean, aside from Klay, that the rest of the league still fears the Mavericks?
I do, playoff time?
Because this year was come playoff time, it was you don't want to face the Mavericks. But most of the season it was,
And I wonder how long it takes to change this perception. I do think it's a good part of it is still because of Kyrie as well. I'm not saying that's the way it should be. The way it should be is you have the second best player in the NBA and you're like, holy crap, we need to watch out for that. But I do still feel like you've heard so many people's like, they got Luka. I almost combined their two names. Luka. They have Luka, and then everyone would be like, yeah, but don't forget about Kyrie. Don't forget about Kyrie. And so I think that helped. And then if you can add Klay Thompson, everyone's going to be like, don't forget about Klay Thompson.
And then what else does that do for the other guys? The PJs, like it elevates their status of, oh my gosh, these guys are, you want one of these on your team. Dude, and everybody's like very envious of what you have built.
If PJ Washington is what, the fifth best player on your team? Pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, this is...
Oh, yeah, man. Just thinking about Derek Lively.
Yeah.
Like what he can turn into next year again.
I just think that this team is respected and has a chance to win it all again next year. Even if they don't get Klay, I do think that you're bringing back a very good team. And what Nico is doing right now, because I get people that don't like the Mavericks are taking shots on, oh, you're getting a washed-up player who can't play anymore. Even though... Klay, and I get it, this is just numbers, and sometimes there's more than just the numbers. He did average almost 18 points a game last year. Mm. You can't be washed up in the league. Now, I'll take a shot at my Dirk. Dirk was washed up. And if you go look at his numbers, he was averaging, I don't know, 12 in his last season.
Wow.
Like, I mean, that's where you would look at it and go, look, the numbers are telling you, like, to score 18 points in the NBA per game, you can't be totally washed doing that.
He's washed from what he was.
For sure.
Oh, wow, man. Yeah, Dirk's numbers were interesting. His last year was 7.
7 points a game.
And the year before that was 12 and 14. But
I don't recall those seasons.
He's different. He's a different player than what he was. And Golden State has been asking him to continue to be Klay. And I think the belief from the Mavericks is, no, we're just asking him to be that Jason Kidd type 3-point shooter who plays solid defense, you know, and I don't know how solid his defense is comparatively. We're just asking him to be a guy that can hit those threes whenever we ask him to.
Like Tim Hardaway Jr.'s career is pretty much over. Like he's getting into the age as a role player. His career is almost over. And so what did the Mavericks do? They traded him. Yes, they had to add some second round picks to open up money, this and that. They went and got a 24-year-old. Now, Quentin Grimes might not develop into the player that people thought he could in New York, or people think that he might be able to in Dallas. But then you pick up is it 26 or 27-year-old Marshall yesterday?
Yeah, right around 26.
So I do like what Nico's doing is he's looking at Luka going, Luka's 25 years old. I don't need to pick up right now three guys at 34 that might not have anything left in their tank. I am going to possibly pick up one, if available, that we are going to hope that there's still two or three more years left in Klay Thompson. But I do like that he's getting all of these guys, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, all of these guys in their mid-20s going to hit their prime or hitting their prime at the same time approximately and can be something special together. He's not putting together – Mark Cuban loved putting together one-year teams.
Yeah.
That didn't really make sense. And then you thought, there's no room to grow, and these guys have no commitment to the Dallas Mavericks at all. And I do like what Nico is doing. So I do think that the NBA fears the Mavs going, hey, besides Kyrie, all of these guys look like they're going to be together for a while.
The biggest thing, and I see people continue to ask this, and I see some people are more forceful about it than others, is what are your other options? Because you know Klay is going to go to LA. I mean, that's not all the things that we're hearing, is that he is definitely interested in the Mavs. But to Mike's point, the thing I really like is, I'm sure they already have pivot plan A, B, and C. Is like, hey, can we find somebody who wants to send somebody into our trade exceptions? Mm-hmm. Or I have no doubt that they have other plans instead of Cuban being like, hey, who's still there?
Yeah, all the signs we're seeing, Kevin, is it is between LA and Dallas. Yep. Like that's the choice. And I guess if that's the choice, Kevin, we're done. And that's why there are a lot of Mavs fans that are out there not willing to get their hearts broken. But Kevin, where's Klay going to boat? Where's he going to be able to get into his $220,000 boat, put his little captain's hat on? Lake Ray Hubbard? Like Louisville? Like, those aren't the same options as the West Coast.
Sail his little boat on Jerry's mega cruiser. There's probably enough room there. We'll figure it out.
Okay, we got to find a place for Klay to boat in case he wants to.
I do think people need to, this is how social media works nowadays. Is I do think people need to, working off of what you said, Corey, is make your assessment now. either Klay Thompson, if you're going to be extremist, either Klay Thompson means everything or he means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Because what I don't want to hear from people is go, hey, because I think Klay Thompson can help. Do I think that now the Mavs are the favorites to win the championship and are unbeatable? No, we're not getting 5 year ago Klay Thompson. So stop saying, if you're listening, just stop saying Klay Thompson's old and doesn't mean anything. And then if you get him, you have to stick with that. Mm. And if you think that he means everything, then you have to stick with, God, we're screwed. But really, the likelihood is Klay Thompson can help you win a few more games. Klay Thompson might really help you in the playoffs. But he's not the piece that is like, that's it. We did it. We got, like, for example, in unavailable to the Mavs. If the Mavericks would have got Paul George last night, yeah, I think the Mavericks are now the favorites to win the NBA championship. I really do, because he's in his... He's still, I guess, close to his prime.
And this would be a good fit for what he does.
Right. So I just think that people are getting way too extreme on Klay Thompson. He's not completely done. He's not what he was. He can still help a team win as your third or fourth guy. And I just, it's that's why I don't do Twitter anymore. I literally don't post on Twitter much at all anymore because of, I think, the craziness of people that want to go to this extreme that either Klay Thompson is the greatest thing that ever happened to the Dallas Mavericks in the history of the franchise, or it's the stupidest thing ever.
I'm with you on that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. Who was the best at being the worst this weekend? Was it maybe the Stars? Let's do it next right here.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan.
Chris Tanev just kept it onside with a pass to Horvat. Now back for Tanev. Deeks scores.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to have to talk about good old Chris Tanev, but it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Also want to hear from you on the Twitch, on the YouTube. Who was the Wanker of the Weekend, and why was it that one MLS goalkeeper?
What do you mean?
Oh, my gosh. Have you not seen this? All right.
That one. There's lots of them.
This one especially. We're going to play cut number 7 in just a second. But here's what happened. The match is tied, and the goalkeeper is completely unaware that there is a player from the opposing team behind him. Now, he just was like, I think it's Thayer. He was like, I'm going to get some water. And then he's like, oh.
Can I ask you a question about this? His water bottle was just sitting there next to the opponent's goal?
Debatable.
Or is that the goalie's water bottle? He just went and got some water.
I mean, there is a water bottle there. I don't know if there's a community water bottle. It feels like a bad idea. But what's happening here is the goalie does what the goalie does, I don't know, 8 million times. Yeah, pushing everybody back, puts the ball down, and then eventually, this is 6 or 7 minutes in to extra time, comes up right behind him. Whoop, steals, scores, hit it.
That was going in, maybe.
So Toronto goalkeeper Luca Gavrin, and let's play the beginning of that one more time. Even the commentators are like, hold on, what the hell is happening?
That was going in, maybe.
Oh, Gavrin! Stepan! Oh! T.R.A. wins it!
However, I will point out this. The Toronto teammates are also wankers of the weekend. It only appeared as though one of them was even aware that this might happen, and nobody was pointing and being like, dude,
chill out with what you're doing.
There's a guy right behind you.
This is a pretty awesome moment. But yeah, I mean, I guess you could call the goalie a wanker here, but you're right. The teammates that didn't even point out that there's a dude behind you.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them the wankers, Kevin.
That's pretty bad. And then there's this. Look, how did you lose? Somebody stole the ball from me in extra time and just kicked it in. What do you mean? Aren't you the goalie? Yeah, I didn't know he's there.
Nobody told me.
I'm sure people try it all the time. It feels like the hidden ball trick. When it works, it's better than whatever else could have, like a regular goal. This has got to be way better.
Yes.
You're like, oh my gosh. The Dallas Stars, during the NHL draft, all things happen. So the Stars, they traded the exclusive signing rights to Chris Tanev to the Toronto Maple Leafs for a 2026 seventh round pick and prospect Max Ellis, who doesn't look that great. But I guess they got something. However, it feels like we talked about the defensive prowess of this Stars team raising up because of Chris Tanev time and again. I'm not saying they don't have other talented defenders, but this is one of your top four defensemen, obviously one of your top two defensemen. And now you traded him away for nothing. Did they just know they weren't going to re-sign him?
I think whenever they got him for as cheap as they did, Kevin, they were like, we're going to make this run. And that, you know how they're like pinching pennies there. I think they're like, hey, we're going to make this run and this is going to happen. I do believe it. All indications are a 1-year, $3 million deal for Craig Smith with the Blackhawks right now. And then Matt Duchene, though.
We're getting it done.
Mike's guy does look like he's got an extension.
He's fast.
Yeah. So
number 95.
But yeah, I liked Tanev a lot. I thought he brought a lot of calm to your defense. And right now, you're already seeing names pop off the board in free agency for defensive players. So where do the Stars go for that? Where do they recreate that? I don't know, man. I don't know if they're just like, we got to go with the youth because we had dead legs late in the season. I don't know.
Because it didn't seem like the annual value of $4.5 million for his deal was that bad. Now,
for him, for that kind of player, yeah.
However, maybe they were scared away by the 6-year deal.
That's he'll be 40.
Yeah.
He'll be 40 years old. That's Guy Carboneau's type stuff right there.
But would you have felt any better if you gave him a 4-year deal for $6 million per? The numbers aren't that different. I realize it'd be a $3 million difference, but they're not that different. Would you feel better? You'd be like, oh yeah, 4 more years, $6 million. That's not bad.
Guy Carboneau played until he was 39, Kevin. 39. He played 5 years with the Stars. Almost all of it was, the rest of it was Montreal. So 39, though.
I guess we decided against that, and I'm very sad about that.
Yeah. That's a lot of money, though.
It is. Good for him for getting all the money, but I'm sad that he will not be part of the Dallas Stars.
Hold on, are you trying to tell me that you don't trust Jim Nill? First off, you don't trust Nico.
I do trust Jim
Nill. He's letting Derek Jones Jr. just walk out of here.
But somebody brought up a great point that I thought was funny. I'm not saying it's like this, but doesn't this already mean that the Mavericks offseason is a failure if they said Derek Jones is priority 1A and 1B?
That's true.
That's true.
I don't actually think that.
Our only goal is to make sure that we get this guy brought back.
And then they're like, well, we couldn't figure
it
out.
We had other goals.
Yeah, we could have signed him. We didn't want to wait. Tell you, forget that. Look, I do not think the Mavericks offseason is a failure. Somebody brought that up and I thought it was amusing.
So you're saying that Jim Nill's failed?
No, I trust Jim Nill. All right. I'm just disappointed. I would have loved to have Chris Tanev back.
Okay.
Now, the number one wanker of the weekend, honestly, it's Jamarcus Russell, isn't it?
Oh, I haven't seen the Jamarcus Russell one too, Kevin.
Oh my good night. What did he do? The story is ridiculous.
Is he still relevant?
I mean, I wouldn't have thought so, but yet here we are. So Jamarcus Russell is being accused of misappropriating $74,000 in donation funds for weight room equipment at the school where Russell was a football coach. For his own benefit.
So hold on. He's
an assistant coach at his alma mater, Williamson High School in Mobile, Alabama.
And he got a bunch of weightlifting equipment.
No. they took money to go buy the weightlifting equipment.
Okay.
But instead of him taking the $74,000 check and using it as a donation to the school, he has supposedly used it for himself.
For what? What did he do with it?
That I don't know.
Got all that purple drink.
But, I mean, he made all of the money before they were like, hey, this rookie wage scale is not going to work for any of us.
Especially if this happens again.
Yes, yes. And so per, I don't know, somebody from the school district, they said they tried to stop payment on the check when, quote, Russell wouldn't provide a receipt of any of the donations and quit returning phone calls.
Oh, no. Just ghosted them. I'm out of here.
I guess you can always need money, but I don't,
especially whenever you're getting that much, man. Like, that's a lot of money to be working with.
How much was this rookie deal worth? Like $60 million?
Yeah, a lot.
Do you think, though, he has a lot of it left over?
Am I remembering? Probably this is the not. Guy who could throw from his knees, but not yes. from his feet?
Yes. Yes. I always thought that was weird. When they're like, look at this throw from his knee. And I'm like, but in the NFL...
I mean, how sometimes some you're down I at that point. Like, yeah. You're down, so the play's dead. So, yeah, his net worth is in the $4 million range, Kevin, according to the U.S.
Sounds like he did well with his money.
Yeah.
Turned that 60 into 4.
Williamson High School is reporting that, quote, they have never seen any of this money that got donated. So I probably shouldn't laugh because that's really terrible.
It's tough, yeah. But, especially those kids. Now, what are they going to do?
I
fill up milk cartons with concrete? I mean, how can they lift weights now?
Here's the thing. Wouldn't you think, because people love helping out folks who've been through tragedy, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't you, if I told you, former number one overall NFL draft pick who got like $60 or $70 million stole $74,000 of these high school kids' money for weights. Doesn't this feel like a cause that people would support? And they'd be like, we're going to make sure you have the most badass weight room that's ever existed for a high school team.
Yeah, I would. Somebody will. Somebody will. Kevin, somebody did from the 940 in regards to the Tanev situation and the Mavs. It could be worse, guys. The Mavs could have gone all in.
No, because we did things in the first 24 to 48 hours. That's how you knew it was different. Look, all of the primary things that supposedly the Cowboys were supposed to do this offseason, they've still done none of them.
I don't know that.
On the extension front.
You don't know that.
I feel like we would have heard about it. Micah would have announced it on his podcast for sure. We'll get to that.
I can't wait for that. Podcast versus podcast.
Yeah.
Versus why didn't you call me up?
Yeah,
But they do it on social media. That's funny.
You make a lot of fair points, Mike. I don't have a really good answer for you on any of that. All right, let's go to the Los Angeles Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers, the wankers of the weekend. This is the final count for the Paul George trade. They gave up 5 first round picks.
That's it.
2 first round swaps.
Not much.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That seems like a lot now.
And keep in mind, they made it past the second round, I believe, once.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Did they not do it twice against the Mavs?
Past the second round.
But
you're right. Against the Mavs, they did. That is crazy how much they gave up. And it was fine, I guess.
What do you think is the one that they look at and go, do you think it's the, they made it to the Western Conference Finals once. Is it Shai or all the picks?
Shai, but the tough thing was Kawhi wasn't going to go to LA unless Paul George came with him. So they were put in a situation where they were going to get a superstar player, and the superstar player said, hey, I'll leave the champion Toronto Raptors, but I'm only doing it if Paul George comes with it. And so they're like, well, we can't get Kawhi, who says he wants to be in LA, unless we go get Paul George. And so Kawhi made them do this. In a way, Clipper fans should be really mad at Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
He's the one who's ruined everything.
Is this punishment now that he has to do this, be on this team?
I guess I don't know if he cares. That's the thing about Kawhi Leonard that I don't know.
That he just He's like, look, I kind of feel like playing basketball today.
He's tough
today.
To read. And then, look, he was great all last year. And then they're like, oh, crap, we should have sat him out 20 extra games in the regular season. But then would we be in this situation if we would have sat him out the 20 games that he needed rest to possibly be ready for the playoffs?
Probably not.
And from the 972, they said, yeah, go get Mavericks. And, Kevin, I want to tell you something. I heard the promo this morning of go get Rangers. And then as I got out of the car, I was walking inside and I was trying to say what you intended to say and got it wrong every time. My mind is now brainwashed to say go right. get Rangers instead of go get
the
them
Mavericks
Rangers.
Go got Pelicans.
Yeah, they go got Pelican.
Hey, in the noon o'clock go get hour, Pelican. Go get Marcus Simeon back. We'll be doing that giveaway in the noon o'clock
that.
Hour.
I like that.
We don't have this type of discretion, but I would love it if Alec had the discretion on the phone calls to only give it away to somebody who goes, hey, this is 105.3 The Fan. Go get Rangers. And that's like how you responded.
Dude, I would love.
I feel like that probably violates some of our rules.
Our prize rules.
Yeah, okay. It probably does. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
Don't worry about rules violations.
Okay, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Hey, what the hell are these two Cowboys doing? Let's do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, always updating you on the NBA free agent happenings. To do so, I will take you to the Corey News Desk.
Boston Celtics guard Derek White has agreed to a four-year, $125.9 million contract extension. The deal includes a player option. Man, that's big. That's impressive.
I always think in these cases, like, I understand.
Don't.
The extra money. But if you're like 4 for $125, that's pretty good. Can you give me 4 for $126? And they're like, ooh, we can't go all the way to 126. How about 125.9? And it feels weird because you say 0.9. That's $900,000 that feels like a throwaway in this deal.
Yeah, that's basically your taxes on the deal, right?
Oh, my God. That's going to be so much more
than
that.
You can get away with it.
Yeah, well, that is an excellent point. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go.
I hate that he played that, especially today. Corey, things are happening with the Cowboys. And John Machota already wrote an article about this where he goes, are you worried that this is going to be par for the Cowboys season? My answer, yes. We'll get to Micah Parsons responding in just a second because he was responding to Malik Hooker. Malik Hooker was on with Keyshawn Johnson's All Facts No Breaks podcast, and this was his friendly piece of advice for Micah Parsons.
Problem with him, my thing would be, though, for Micah, my advice would be for Micah would be, you know, just make sure we're all right, you know, and being where your feet are, because if we're at work and you know, the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and you know the run game is terrible, then, you know, what are you really caring about? Are you caring about the crowd that, you know, is watching your podcast? Are you caring about the success of our team in the Super Bowl that we're trying to reach?
Oh, my God.
So it's pretty great, right?
Oh, my God.
Just for the record, I don't disagree with what he's saying right there.
On your face.
But hey, guess what, Corey? It's going to get worse. Micah responded. Now, I want you to listen to his response.
Greatest response in Cowboys history.
And then the platform of his response and see if you can make sense of all this. He went on Twitter, quote, just wish you had said this to me, but instead on some podcast. And you got my number, family, at Malik Hooker, and you my locker mate, Parsons said in a now deleted post because people don't seem to understand how social media actually works. Quote, so you could have said this any day, and you do realize I shoot the podcast on our off day. Why we ain't talking about everyone else's preparation and focus. Now,
oh man,
the main part.
It's imploding, bro.
The main part of it that's concerning to me is when he goes, you could have just said this to me instead of some podcast. You got my number.
Right.
To which then begs the question. He makes a fair point. He does. But then wouldn't you go about that by contacting Malik Hooker directly and not trying to be like, I got you back.
Micah has his number, decided to say, you have my number. Why didn't you say that? You have his number too. Why are you putting this on Twitter? I feel like Malik
because
Hooker,
he had to stand up for himself because he had to be like, yeah. I'm not getting punked out like that. Even though what's best for the team, as he said himself, awesome. Would be to just hit him back in person.
This is awesome. And all I can say on the air is, can you imagine when they went to Jerry Jones's office and asked and said, did you hear what Hooker had to say?
And he's like, I don't know. Can you play me the audio? I'll just listen to it on the fan. Because we know he listens.
That is true,
dude. This is bad. This is bad.
I'm laughing, but I'm not happy. This is terrible.
It's bad on multiple levels. Do you remember during the Super Bowl? Was it Malik Hooker and Gilmore when they were sitting down with G-Bag and they were asked about the burnout stuff?
Oh yeah.
And I mean, when it comes, Kevin, we've heard lots of questions about Micah, and you just heard Malik Hooker say something very, very realistic.
Yeah.
When we're sitting here trying to play run defense and your feet aren't under you because I'm not sure that it's just because of the podcast, but these things are not happening because your mind isn't there. And right now, again, Mike Zimmer had to stop practices in the middle of practice because Micah wasn't even lined up in the right spots. It's concerning for me, man.
I did think it was a weird response from Micah when he's like, well, what Malik Hooker said was, you're talking on your podcast and our run defense is terrible. It feels like you care about your podcast and not run defense. And he was like, that was on my day off.
That's not the point.
I mean, wouldn't you argue that, like, not to go all Belichick right here, but I feel like a lot of great players in the history of athletics would be like, no, that's what I did on my day off. I got obsessed with it. I'm not saying you have to. He can have his day off, whatever he wants. But if you want to get to that next level of greatness, which he said a couple weeks ago he did, It feels like that would be your obsession.
Yeah. In season, I understand they have day off. I also feel like day off in season is you're continuing to make yourself better. I get it. They physically have things they can accomplish.
Remember, Corey, he expanded his role with Bleacher Report, and he was named the Bleacher Report Gridiron President for their football subsection.
Oh, so he's got more to do there, too. It was Brandon Cooks and Gilmore that were sat down with G-Bag. This is bad. And Mike McCarthy's going to have to do so many more Top Golf outings now to get these guys together. He's going to have to smash so many more watermelons in there.
Not...
Because, listen, yeah. He's got to get these guys together, and they already sound fractured and frayed. That's not good at all, man. But it does line up with a lot of things we've heard, Kevin, from inside that place about Micah's work ethic.
I think the Cowboys are going to be a revolutionary organization. As media has changed over the last 10 years and a lot of players are doing podcasts, I think they're going to have their own podcast rooms for the players. So when practice ends...
That's the response to this is...
I think they're going to have 10 different rooms where they can all do 10 different podcasts at the same time. Because this is awesome. Please, for the brand. No. I mean, obviously, after Jerry heard all this, this is awesome that there was something that we could talk about the Cowboys, that national people could talk about the Cowboys. And so... In a way, this is great for the Cowboys. It's not great for winning, but that's not the goal.
It's stuff like this, Mike, and I know we've had our battles over that, and sometimes your general Cowboys attitude, but it's stuff like this that makes it impossible to argue against. Yeah. Like, what is happening right now makes it really hard to argue against what you're saying.
It makes it very difficult to believe. Listen... I think you can overcome a lot of things. I don't think you can overcome a really fractured locker room. Yeah. There might be examples of
especially
of
when your best defensive player by far, like he is. He's one of the five best defensive players in the
naturally
game.
Naturally gifted players.
That it doesn't seem like the players think he's part of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I don't think you can overcome that when it comes down to it. So this is tough, man. This is really tough.
It does also kind of speak to the thing about, like, you know, what would my coaches say? What would my teammates say? Like, this is all just media. Well, I mean...
Then you hear it.
You heard your coach say it would be better if he was out here. You hear Mike Zimmer having to stop practice because Micah didn't know where to be. And now you hear one of his teammates be like, I don't know. Maybe that's not my first choice.
And somebody just said, I love it. Best thing for us is to lose 10 games, honestly. And I don't know if that's necessarily true either, other than if your goal is to wipe whatever this team is off the table... but they don't want to lose Micah, right?
No, and they won't. They're going to sign him to a super huge deal, but
probably
at the end of his career, he will go to another team, like most guys do, especially in Dallas. And I can't wait to hear all of the negative things that the Cowboys then put out to the media about Micah Parsons' time, where if you ask any Micah Parsons questions at Oxnard when this thing starts in a few weeks, they are going to look at you like you're the stupidest person and should never be part of Cowboys media. And the Cowboys fandom will jump on the one person who asked that Micah Parsons question. It's like, you're a moron, this and that. Do you remember what they did to Dez Bryant finally when then Dez, they're like, we're not going to extend Dez Bryant. We think that his career is coming to a close. Did they say all great things about Dez Bryant, or did they start kind of putting out in the media about some of the things that he missed, about some of the things he wasn't truly committed to? And that's what they're going to do with Micah too. Now, we're still, I think, 5 years away or seven years away from bashing Micah, the Cowboys doing it. But whatever we say about it, they're going to say it's a complete and total lie, and the Cowboys fandom is going to believe that the Cowboys are telling the truth, that Micah is a great teammate doing everything possible to be better.
Which I really hate, because can't we find a middle ground before that? Nope. Can't we just say some of the questions about when Micah is and isn't there are relevant? Like, that doesn't... Did you hear at any point us say you need to get rid of Micah? No! I think you can talk about both things. You can be like, hey, I wish he was there a little bit more, and then some of his teammates have thoughts about his podcast. You can say that by also being, holy crap, he's badass, and I'm glad he's on our team.
561, Micah is a transcendent talent, and I'd trade his ass in a heartbeat for several first rounders. And like,
yeah,
his rookie year, second year, no way anybody was saying something like that. Turned very quickly, very quickly.
Really did. Now, you brought up Bobby Bonilla day earlier, and I did just want to throw that out, this out there, that means Bobby Bonilla gets more money today than Brock Purdy makes in base salary this season. Now, I realize there's a lot more to it, and obviously endorsements, and he's going to work for his extension and everything, but yeah, Bobby Bonilla, I believe, gets $1.19 million today, and Brock Purdy for the season will make
$985,000. Not even the extra... $15K to get him to a million.
Nope.
As Mr. Irrelevant. And the Niners are sitting there just eating that up. They're like, look at all these other players we can add to the team because our quarterback didn't cost us anything.
You're right. And then, by the way, rest of the NFL, be on the lookout. Lyle Collins says he's ready to go dominate.
Let's go.
With the Bills.
I'm excited for you.
Watch out for that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, intriguing questions and fits, Mavs and otherwise, to start NBA free agency. Plus, at some point in the next hour, we will do our Marcus Simeon All-Star Bat giveaway.
Oh, can't wait.
Coming at you next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, always updating you on the NBA free agent happenings. To do so, I will take you to the Corey News Desk.
Boston Celtics guard Derek White has agreed to a four-year, $125.9 million contract extension. The deal includes a player option. Man, that's big. That's impressive.
I always think in these cases, like, I understand.
Don't.
The extra money. But if you're like four for 125, that's pretty good. Can you give me four for 126? And they're like, ooh, we can't go all the way to 126. How about 125.9? And it feels weird because you say 0.9. That's $900,000. That feels like a throwaway in this deal.
Yeah, that's basically your taxes on the deal, right?
Oh, my God. That's going to be so much more than that.
You get away with it.
Yeah, well, that is an excellent point. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy. I hate that he played that, especially today. Corey, things are happening with the Cowboys. And John Machota already wrote an article about this where he goes, are you worried that this is going to be par for the Cowboys season? My answer, yes. We'll get to Micah Parsons responding in just a second, because he was responding to Malik Hooker. Malik Hooker was on with Keyshawn Johnson's All Facts No Breaks podcast, and this was his friendly piece of advice for Micah Parsons.
Problem with him, my thing would be, though, for Micah, my advice would be for Micah would be, you know, just make sure we're all right, you know, where and being where your feet are. Because if we're at work and, you know, the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and you know the run game is terrible, then, you know, what are you really caring about? Are you caring about the crowd that, you know, is watching your podcast? Are you caring about the success of our team in the Super Bowl that we're trying to reach?
Oh, my God.
So it's pretty great, right?
Oh, my God.
Just for the record, I don't disagree with what he's saying right there.
On your face.
But hey, guess what, Corey? It's going to get worse. Micah responded. Now, I want you to listen to his response.
Greatest response in Cowboys history.
And then the platform of his response and see if you can make sense of all this. He went on Twitter, quote, "Just wish you had said this to me, but instead on some podcast. And you got my number, family. At Malik Hooker, and you my locker mate," Parsons said in a now-deleted post because people don't seem to understand how social media actually works. Quote, "So you could have said this any day, and you do realize I shoot the podcast on our off day. Why we ain't talking about everyone else's preparation and focus?" Now,
oh man,
the main part...
It's imploding, bro.
The main part of it that's concerning to me is when he goes, "You could have just said this to me instead of some podcast. You got my number."
Right.
To which then begs the question. He makes a fair point. He does. But then wouldn't you go about that by contacting Malik Hooker directly and not trying to be like, yeah, "Oh, this. I got you back.
Micah has his number."
Yeah.
Decided to say, "You have my number. Why didn't you say that? You have his number too. Why are you putting this on Twitter?" I feel like Malik
Because
Hooker,
he had to stand up for himself. Because he had to be like, yeah, "I'm not getting punked out like that." Even though what's best for the team, as he said himself, awesome, would be to just hit him back in person.
This is awesome. And all I can say on the air is, can you imagine when they went to Jerry Jones' office and asked and said, "Did you hear what Hooker had to say?"
And he's like, "I don't, you know, guys, I don't know. Can you play me the audio? You know, you know what? I'll just listen to it on the Fan." Because we know he listens.
That is true.
Dude, this is bad. This is bad.
I'm laughing, but I'm not happy. This is terrible.
It's bad on multiple levels. Do you remember during the Super Bowl, was it Malik Hooker and Gilmore? When they were sitting down with G-Bag and they were asked about the burnout stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, when it comes, Kevin, we've heard lots of questions about Micah, and you just heard Malik Hooker say something very, very realistic.
Yeah.
When we're sitting here trying to play run defense and your feet aren't under you because I'm not sure that it's just because of the podcast, but these things are not happening because your mind isn't there. And right now, again, Mike Zimmer had to stop practices in the middle of practice because Micah wasn't even lined up in the right spots. It's concerning for me, man.
I did think it was a weird response from Micah when he's like, "Well, what Malik Hooker said was you're talking on your podcast and our run defense is terrible. It feels like you care about your podcast and not run defense." And he was like, "That was on my day off."
That's like, not the point.
I mean, wouldn't you argue that, like, not to go all Belichick right here, but I feel like a lot of great players in the history of athletics would be like, "No, that's what I did on my day off. I got obsessed with it." I'm not saying you have to. He can have his day off, whatever he wants. But if you want to get to that next level of greatness, which he said a couple weeks ago he did, It feels like that would be your obsession.
Yeah. In season, I understand they have day off. I also feel like day off in season is you're continuing to make yourself better. I get it. They physically have things they can accomplish.
Remember, too, Corey, he expanded his role with Bleacher Report, and he was named the Bleacher Report Gridiron President for their football subsection.
Oh, so he's got more to do there, too. It was Brandon Cooks and Gilmore that were sat down with G-Bag. This is bad. And Mike McCarthy, look, man, Mike McCarthy's going to have to do so many more Top Golf outings now to get these guys together. He's going to have to smash so many more watermelons in there.
Not...
Because, listen, yeah, he's got to get these guys together, and they already sound fractured and frayed. That's not good at all, man. But it does line up with a lot of things we've heard, Kevin, from inside that place about Micah's work ethic.
I think the Cowboys are going to be a revolutionary organization. as media has changed over the last 10 years and a lot of players are doing podcasts, I think they're going to have their own podcast rooms for the players. So when practice ends,
that's the response to this is
I think they're going to have 10 different rooms where they can all do 10 different podcasts at the same time. Because it this is awesome for the brand. No. I mean, obviously after Jerry heard all this, this is awesome. That there was something that we could talk about the Cowboys, that national people could talk about the Cowboys. And so, in a way, this is great for the Cowboys. It's not great for winning, but that's not the goal.
It's stuff like this, Mike, and I know we've had our battles over that, and sometimes your general Cowboys attitude, but it's stuff like this that makes it impossible to argue against. Yeah. Like, what is happening right now makes it really hard to argue against what you're saying.
It makes it very difficult to believe. Listen, I think you can overcome a lot of things. I don't think you can overcome a really fractured locker room. Yeah. There might be examples of
especially
of
when your best defensive player by far, like he is. He's one of the five best defensive players in the
naturally
game.
Naturally gifted players.
That it doesn't seem like the players think he's part of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I don't think you can overcome that. When it comes down to it. So this is tough, man. This is really tough.
It does also kind of speak to the thing about, like, you know, what were my coaches say? What would my teammates say? Like, this is all just media. Well, I mean.
Then you hear it.
You heard your coach say it would be better if he was out here. You hear Mike Zimmer having to stop practice because Micah didn't know where to be. And now you hear one of his teammates be like, I don't know. Maybe that's not my first choice.
And somebody just said, I love it. Best thing for us is to lose 10 games, honestly. And I don't know if that's necessarily true either, other than if your goal is to wipe whatever this team is off the table. But they don't want to lose Micah, right?
No, and they won't. They're going to sign him to a super huge deal. But
probably.
At the end of his career, he will go to another team, like most guys do, especially in Dallas. And I can't wait to hear all of the negative things that the Cowboys then put out to the media about Micah Parsons' time, where if you ask any Micah Parsons questions at Oxnard when this thing starts in a few weeks, they are going to look at you like you're the stupidest person and should never be part of Cowboys media. And the Cowboys fandom will jump on the one person who asked that Micah Parsons question. It's like, you're a moron, this and that. Do you remember what they did to Dez Bryant finally when then Dez, they're like, we're not going to extend Dez Bryant. We think that his career is coming to a close. Did they say all great things about Dez Bryant, or did they start kind of putting out in the media about some of the things that he missed, about some of the things he wasn't truly committed to? And that's what they're going to do with Micah too. Now, we're still, I think, 5 years away away from bashing Micah, the Cowboys doing it. But whatever we say about it, they're going to say it's a complete and total lie, and the Cowboys fandom is going to believe that the Cowboys are telling the truth, that Micah is a great teammate doing everything possible to be better.
Which I really hate, because can't we find a middle ground before that? Nope. Can't we just say some of the questions about when Micah is and isn't there are relevant? Like, that doesn't... Did you hear at any point us say you need to get rid of Micah? No! I think you can talk about both things. You can be like, hey, I wish he was there a little bit more, and then some of his teammates have thoughts about his podcast. You can say that by also being, holy crap, he's badass, and I'm glad he's on our team.
561, Micah is a transcendent talent, and I'd trade his ass in a heartbeat for several first-rounders. And, like, his rookie year, second year, no way anybody was saying something like that. Turned very quickly, very quickly.
Really did. Now, you brought up Bobby Bonilla day earlier, and I did just want to throw this out there, that means Bobby Bonilla gets more money today than Brock Purdy makes in base salary this season. Now, I realize there's a lot more to it, and obviously endorsements, and he's going to work for his extension and everything, but yeah, Bobby Bonilla, I believe, gets $1.19 million today, and Brock Purdy for the season will make
$985,000. Not even the extra... $15,000 to get him to a million.
Nope.
As Mr. Irrelevant. And the Niners are sitting there just eating that up. They're like, look at all these other players we can add to the team because our quarterback didn't cost us anything.
You're right. And then, by the way, rest of the NFL, be on the lookout. Lyle Collins says he's ready to go dominate.
Let's go.
With the Bills.
I'm excited for you.
Watch out for that. for the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, intriguing questions and fits, Mavs and otherwise, to start NBA free agency. Plus, at some point in the next hour, we will do our Marcus Simeon All-Star Bat giveaway.
Oh, can't wait.
Coming at you next right here on The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.